knowing there's something here, Sal, that you can't get in the supermarket. There's stuff you can get here that you can't get at Wally World. There's stuff here, Mel, you can't get at Walgreens. Oh, let me say that again. There's stuff you get here that you can get here that you can't get at Walgreens or CVS or Food City. How many knows there's stuff here that you can't get anywhere else? Wow. Wow. This morning, thank you, Lord, for that. And that's powerful. That's powerful this morning. How many knows what a revival is? I was going to zigzag, but I don't know if I'm going to go zigzag or not. I just somehow or another, Lord said, I don't know if I want you to go to zigzag or not. How many's ever heard of it? You're saying zigzag? Where is that? Who is that? That's a place in Scripture that David lost something. Something was stolen from him. Okay? So I don't know if the Lord wants me to go there, or maybe I'll go both places. I'll go both places, and maybe, you know, it'll all be all right. It'll all be all right, okay? I want maybe to get you all to help me with some things. But listen, I was telling Kathy this morning, Mrs. R, I said, you know what? Seems like the Lord does this to me all the time. I am not somebody who necessarily always gets a clear flying path when I come and I leave and come to minister the word of God. I don't know why. I've always been that way through the years. Usually there's about 20 things going over in my mind, okay? So sometimes I feel like you feel like that I'm stalling, or if I have lost my mind, or I don't know where I am, I promise you, I know where I am, okay? So it's okay. I worked as a DJ, and some of you didn't know that, on the radio many years ago. And it's a DJ's nightmare to have silence. That's what a former pastor I said. He said that's why he had to always couldn't feel like that there could be any space or any quiet places in a service. It freaked him out. Feels like it freaks people out. But we need quiet spaces. We need quiet moments so God can resonate something in our spirit. Okay? So this morning, if it seems like I've lost it, or it seems like I don't know where I'm going, or I've lost my train of thought. And now, there have been a time or two that I have done that, okay? But I'm just saying, I'm listening to the Lord, okay? I'm listening to the Lord. How many want your pastor to listen to the Lord? Some of you don't, right? Okay. Let me ask you again. Lord, you give them another chance. How many wants your pastor to listen to the Lord? And you know what the Lord just asked me? Do you want your congregation to listen to me? How many here want to listen to the Lord this morning? Let's talk about that a second. What does revival look like? What does revival look like? What does that mean to you? You know, I remember we define revival sometimes as being years ago in a little country church where they announced revival, and they put up, you know, before they were just by word of mouth. They didn't have copying machines, and they didn't have presses, and they didn't make up printing things to post. They didn't have social media. It was just by word of mouth. I've been in some of the most powerful revivals you could ever imagine. But revival is not limited to what we define revival as. What does revival look like to you? You know, we can define revival. We can define revival as just maybe a series of services where you come together. Now, years ago in some denominational churches, revival was seasonal. They had a fall revival. They had a spring revival. They sometimes had a revival in the summertime. And, you know, for the very stout in heart, the very energetic, they usually had a revival in wintertime. So you usually had, you know, four services where they had a series of services. Let me tell you something. Revival services are a thing of the past. I used to travel the landscape, the countryside in Southwest Virginia and Southeast Kentucky and all over the country and Northeast Tennessee, and used to see revival signs up on in the front of churches. Revival. Our church is in revival. What does that mean? Does that mean that we're having a series of meetings? But can I share with something? I'm not the first one that ever said this. True revival disrupts normality. And it incites and it moves a culture. Okay? It incites change and moves a culture. That means true revival brings change. If there's no change, we've just come together and had some good services. There's nothing wrong with that. But true revival brings forth change. What does the word revive mean? Come on, you guys going to have to help me out this morning. If I was in the classroom, I'd be all over you, okay? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. What does revive mean? Awakening. To awake. To what did you say? To get stirred up. What does revive mean? To bring back. To bring back to life, okay? Listen, if you're down for the count, and the breath's leaving out your body, and the paramedics are there with the crash boards, and all the things that they have to bring your body back to life, they're going to do everything they can, especially if you're coded and you don't have a heartbeat and your breathing is shallow, your blood pressure's way down. Listen, I'm not a paramedic. I'm not a doctor, but what would be the course of action? What would be the course of action? What would be the course of action?
CPR.
CPR. What does that mean?
To revive someone.
Okay, but what does CPR stand for?
What does it stand for? Cardiopulmonary resuscitation. To resuscitate. Okay. Resuscitate.
Okay, I called her off guard right there. I love it. Everybody with me? Okay, everybody with me? How many knows your spiritual life has a heartbeat? Your spirit life has a heartbeat. David, the Lord says, I'm going to find me a man whose heart beats after me. I'm going to find a man whose heart beats after me. We have a spiritual heartbeat. As well as you took your natural hand, everybody take your natural hand, put it where you think your heart is, okay? If it's not there, then you've got problems, okay? I don't know if it's on the other side or not, but I hope not. But it's probably on this side. Is that right? Come on, help me out. Is that right? Is that where my heart is? Yeah, that's where my heart is. How many knows where your heart is? Some people in their spirit, don't leave the hand. Some people in their spiritual life has lost their heartbeat. They've lost their rhythm. They've lost their heartbeat. They have a low pulse. And that's when a church needs reviving. Listen, asked me a long time ago, Pastor R, how come you all don't have revivals up there? I said, we do. We've been in revival since 2000 and whatever, Becky. I don't know. We've been in revival. Listen, It would be staggering to know the number of people that have come to know Jesus in the last several years. So many. And I know they're not all here right now. And that's okay. God understands that. Some will come, some will go. Some maybe don't hang on. I don't know. You think all the people's ever come to Billy Graham and those great crusades. I don't know how many hung on to the faith and or how many did not. But I know that God did change people. And I know things were changed because of what happened in those great crusades. But it's been tremendous. It's been amazing. The people who God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has touched in the last several years. So many numbers that we could probably not keep up with the numbers or identify who they are. It's been amazing. Everybody shout revival. Revival, 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 revival. Revive us again, O Lord. Revive. Renew a right spirit within me. Create within me a clean heart. Renew a right attitude, a right spirit, a right direction in my heart. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 51. So revival this morning, what does that look like? We know that to many of us, we go back and have memories of people in revival services. My mom was saved in a revival. She was saved back in the late 40s or early 50s in a revival in a little place in Kentucky, so remote that some of you have never heard of it. It was called Marshall's Branch, Kentucky. It's close to Jenkins. Anybody ever heard of Jenkins, okay? Surely you've heard of Jenkins, Kentucky, okay? That's just throwing a stone across the mountain, right? Jenkins is on the other side of the mountain. It's close to that. God incited change in hers. Things happened because of my mom. God gave her vision. She saw a vision not long after the revival, maybe the same week in that revival. She saw the Lord appear in her window, in her blinds. And it was such an encounter with God that she never let go of that. She shared that with me. I don't know if you remember that or not, but she shared that powerful encounter that she had with the Lord. Because true revival is a true encounter. Amen. Because nothing changes unless we have a true encounter. The true encounter is with the presence. The presence of God is what incites change. Revival is when people begin to understand and realize the presence of God is so critical, so important, that they embrace the presence of God again. Again, remember, revive is bring back to life again, incites such a powerful change that things begin to happen in their lives. When you meet Jesus, I promise you, things will happen in your life. Can I say this? Some of the which you may understand, and some of them you may not understand. Who knows the ways of God? That's what the Bible says. Who can understand His ways? Who can know the ways of the Lord? I don't understand everything God's doing in my life. I've never been able to understand everything God's done in my life. I remember back in 1991 when I had an encounter with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. God revived me. He spoke to dead bones in my life, dead dreams, and He revived those things. Listen, the Lord calls Ezekiel to look out over a valley, a vast valley, a valley, a vast valley. You know what I used to do years ago? Not many people know this. My wife Kathy knew this. I don't know if my kids knew this. But when I was going in that quest to seek after the presence of God, the real tangible presence of God, because I was tired of living an empty, superficial life. I was tired of dancing to the drumbeat of other people. I was tired of dancing to the drumbeat of religious mediocrity. I was tired of that. I wanted something real and tangible in my life. I wanted something to change in my life. I needed a change in my life. You know, revival happens when you realize you need a change in your life. Amen. How many knows you need a change? Revival changes things. And I begin to go, I don't even know if this place is up there, but if you go up, going toward Powell Valley, and you, before you get to the overlook, there's the old road going down to Powell Valley. I turned left on that road, and there was a little spot beside the road down there. It was an overlook. I don't even think that overlook's there now. But I would pull in there, and I would spend long periods of time just looking out over that valley, seeking God. I was in a quest to seek God. Oh, Jesus, how we need to be in a quest to seek after you. To seek after righteousness. Seek me first in my righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God first in his righteousness. And all those other things God will add to your life. But I begin to seek God. I begin to seek God. I was in a dry place. I was like the dry place that Ezekiel saw when he looked out over the valley. And he saw a valley full of dry bones. What those bones represented was the whole household of Israel. They were an army of dead, slain men who had died on the field of battle. And their bodies had been buried and scattered throughout their valley. They were broken dreams and dead dreams that had died. Their lives had deceased. Their purpose had deceased. Their plans had deceased. Their passions had deceased. Their fire and their vigor and their zeal had ceased. And they were laying in a valley, just bones laying there. A former army that used to march on the field of battle. God looks at a nation and he looks at a people today scattered across a valley. Scattered across a valley, a life that used to be exuberant and passionate for God, a life that you, whose heart used to beat for God, a heart who used to rise up in the morning and say, God, I thank you for this day. A heart that used to beat throughout the day for God. A heart that couldn't wait to get in the presence of God. A heart that couldn't wait to encounter a living God. But that heart doesn't beat anymore because their dead bones scattered in a valley floor somewhere. And the Lord and the prophet said, oh, and the Lord said to the prophet, can these bones live? Can they be revived? Can they be brought back? Can dead dreams be raised again? Can life that once knew the Lord be raised again? Can hopes be raised again? Can fire be stirred again? Come on, help me out. Is your wood too wet to light a fire this morning? Wow. A valley full of bones. Can these bones live again? And the prophet said, thou knowest, Lord. You know. God knows everything. Then he told the prophet, he says, I want you to speak to the four winds. I want you to speak to the winds. Oh, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God descended throughout that valley, breathed upon those dead, those slain, those dreams that were broken, those lives that were hopeless, those lives that were shattered because of disappointment and hurt and heartache. There's people today living under your broken dreams, your broken heart, your broken hurts this morning. And you need life. You need life in that dream. So today, revival is awakening something that's dead. Remember, it's CPR. And you know what? God is the master of getting a heart beating again. Amen. You don't get it. You're sitting there watching SpongeBob in your hand, and you're not getting a hold of what God's saying here today. You need life. Life. Without that life, Jesus says, without me, without life, you're dead. Without me, you're dead. Dreams can die. Hope can die. Fire can die. And we need that reignited. We need that heartbeat. We need to get that heart beating again. And when they put that crash board on you, when they put those, pedals, when they put those pedals on you, and they put that on there and they give you a jolt. What's a normal jolt? Start out with maybe. Any jolt.
It's the
200 joules? Ooh, 200 joules, okay. All right, it may have to go up, right? Hang with me. And they put that on there, and they give that jolt, and your body jumps. How many's ever seen somebody that lost their heartbeat, and they were trying to revive them, trying to get them back? Trying to get their heart beating again. Trying to get that pulse working again. Trying to get that life restored again. Ezekiel saw a valley full of people whose heart had died. And the Lord says, and the word of God says that the Spirit of the Lord, he prophesied to the winds. And they came, and the Lord breathed upon those who had died, those slain who had died. And they revived. They came back. They came up. They raised up from their graves. And they were just bones at first. But then the power of the Spirit began to put flesh, began to put sinew, began to put muscle, began to put tissue back onto those. And finally, he saw an army raised up to walk. To be revived and walk in their destiny and their purpose. Can I say something? That's what God's prophecy was about that day. I want to revive and restore the household of Israel. I want to put their lives back on track. I want to put their heart beating again for my purpose and my plan. And this morning, there's people that lie in a place of heart failure. Their hearts have failed them. Their heartbeat is skipping. They're a slow pulse and they need reviving. So reviving may mean different things to different people. And I have memories of those things when I was a kid. I have memories of being a little small child. Now, so I'm not trying to bore you, because I'm going to talk about one person here before I tie the boat, okay? And by the way, God has totally wrecked my whole thing, okay? So I'm just having to flow with God. Is it okay? So will you help this old eagle this morning? Will you help me out? So some of you can be thankful, because I had something lined out and I was going to pick on a bunch of you. So it's like the kids sitting in class. We have a test today, Mr. R, Mr. Reynolds. I say, well, no, let's have it tomorrow. Shoo. Because I didn't study, Mr. Reynolds. I didn't study. I didn't study my words. Got to always be prepared, right? Wow. So I remember those times as a small kid. I remember my grandpa walking out of the head of a holler with old coveralls, old pointer, what do you call it, brand overall, what do you, coveralls, is that what you call them? You don't call them overalls, you call them coveralls, right? But blue jean bib coveralls, okay? And he'd wear them with his sleeve worn out. I can see it. He had an old Stetson hat that was stained, and he'd walk out of the head of a holler and he'd start fires in the church, because he knew the church needed fire. How many knows that the church needs fire? Yes. You ain't going to do this on your own. You're not going to do this on your own. Melody, that's why God filled you with the power of the Holy Spirit, because he's got something deeper and bigger and better that he wants to do in your life, and you can't do it in your own power and your own strength. You've got to have the power of Jesus living inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that comes against you. Aren't you glad that the power of the resurrected Savior lives inside of you? And this power shall quicken your mortal body. The same Jesus that infiltrated that grave and raised Jesus from the grave is the same power, the same Spirit that God spoke to that valley of dry bones. And they got up. And I remember Grandpa starting those old fires. I remember us going to church and sitting on pews. Wow, how blessed you are. Sitting on pews that would pinch your backside. They were slatted pews. How many knows what I'm talking about? They were slatted pews. They were slatted pews. They had slats. They had big spaces in them. And, you know, they had splinters in them. And they had, it wasn't comfortable. And you could shake a whole thing, you know. But people weren't worried about those things. They weren't worried about the seat they were sitting on. Because when the Holy Spirit of God descended in that little country church and rose up in those people, they begin to stand and testify. I've seen people stand and testify for hours, not telling what their neighbor had done to them, but just stand and testify how they had sinned and how they come short of God's glory. Because you know what revival really truly brings? It starts with repentance. Amen. It starts with God. I messed up. People used to confess their mess ups to each other. They used to stand and say, I messed up. You know what they do? They mess somebody else up. They go to them and say, brother. And they'd be crying. Oh, brother. Get up here, brother. I'm trying to get you to forgive me, brother. Oh, brother, I know I talked about you the other day. I was with old so-and-so, and he was just letting you have it. And I joined in the song, and I just let you have it. I want you to know God convicted me of it, and I messed up, and I'm sorry that I let you down, and I want you to forgive me. Will you forgive me, brother? Will you forgive me? You didn't hear what I said. True repentance is true sorrowful of heart. When you wrong somebody, you want to make it right. You want your own life to be right. But you want your brother to be right too. True repentance brings that. And I remember services like that. Bobby, you're not bored, are you, brother? I remember services like that. On those old padded pews. I remember when people start testifying. I remember my mom a few times getting to testify. She'd stand up and she put up with an alcoholic husband who beat her. But she found her resolve in the presence of God when she was there worshiping God. And she forgot the world she came out of for just temporarily. And she sat in the presence of God. And she got her Jesus on. And she got, listen, she wasn't a real talkative person except one-on-one to you. But in church, I've seen the power of the Lord hit her. She stood up. Oh, man. I wish I had that. She clapped her hands. Woo, Jesus. Have you lost your shout? You forgot you've got something to shout about? You forgot what God's brought you out of? You forgot what God has done in your life? Have you got something to shout about? I remember those services. Wow. And then when she'd stand up, another sister would stand up. They just sling their... Some of them did wear bonnets. I didn't live in pioneer days, but some of them did wear old hats. I don't know what you called them, Reggie. But they'd shout out of their hair. They'd shout. They didn't worry about who was around them. They'd have services like that, and you know, this one start shouting, this one start testifying, that one start testifying. Some old sinner, some old brother in the back just wandered in that night, just full of sin, broken, couldn't hardly make it through the door. Felt like a dog had been in the hen house stealing, robbing hens from eggs, and he just sat back there with his head hung down, so ashamed. But the power of the Lord hit him. Oh, he raised his head. Tears, so many tears in his eyes. He couldn't see his hand in front of his face. Conviction hit him so hard, Steve. Suddenly, he'd get up from the seat and he'd run to the altar. I'm talking about running to the altar. I'm talking about running to the altar. I'm not talking about somebody begging him to come to the altar. I'm talking about him running to the altar, because the power of God had brought conviction to such a place. He was stirred in his heart. And they'd last for days. Sometimes preacher wouldn't even preach through those services. Services would last for days. And change happened somewhat. But then life set back in. Revival should incite change. It should change a culture. It should change a people. And some of the greatest revivals in the history of mankind have brought change to society, brought change to the culture and the community around them. Things changed. God has called us to stand in this strategic place to incite change upon a community, to rub against the grain, to rub against the grain. The grain of religious mediocrity, the grain of religious apathy and complacency, to go against the grain, to preach against the grain, to worship against the grain. You know, most people don't realize this, but every Sunday morning, this pastor has a battle to fight before I even get here. Can I tell you, there's a battle that I fight before I even come through that door. The battle is to bring the Word of God with clarity and accuracy, and to battle against the thoughts that come against my mind, to battle against the fears, to battle against the compromise, the battle against these things before I come through the door. And we come through the door. Most of the time, people don't realize this, but the enemy comes too. Because let me tell you something. I heard this quote the other day. It's such a powerful quote. I wrote it down. When the Word of God truly is preached, it automatically brings opposition. You missed it. You missed it. When Jesus showed up and he was the Word of God in flesh, when Jesus showed up in a town or community, he immediately brought opposition. There are people, you don't mean it, you don't even realize it, you don't think about it, but a lot of times the enemy will get in the heart and the minds of people when we come, and it's Katie bar the doors. It's the enemy fighting against your mind to keep from receiving the grafted Word of God, because he don't want you to hear it. He wants you to die in your sleep. Hello, he wants you to die in your sleep. So whenever the Word of God has been declared, and I shared all these things, And Lord, you know that this is not necessarily what I wanted to share. So this is on you, Lord, and I thank you for it. But do you have memories of old revivals years ago? How many is ever in revival? In revival services. Can I ask you a question? Maybe you remember this. How many here was ever saved at a revival? If you were, stand up right now for just 1 second. That's all you got to do. And let's look around the room. How many was ever saved in a revival? That means there was a series of services. They said revival and things happened. Powerful services happened. The word of God was declared. Things were happening. Miracles were happening. All right, you may be seated. Let's give it up to these people who were saved. Now, let me ask you another question. We're going somewhere. How many in this room was saved as a result of revival? That should be the rest of you. Hello, 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 hello. I've just seen if it echoed. You may be seated. Because you know what revival is? Revival is an improvement in the condition or strength of something. It's an instant of something becoming important again. That means God becomes important again. Usually when revival comes and revival is birthed or is brought forth in a community of believers, in the church, then it restores what is important again. Because the most important one in your life is God. Whether you realize it or not, He's the most important one in your life. Can I tell you this? I've heard stories of atheists going down in plane crashes. First thing they say is, "Oh God, save me." They never prayed to God once or that version of God before. But when the plane goes down, they're crying out to God. How many knows this morning that you're going to need God one day, whether you call upon Him now, while there's breath in your lungs, while there's air in your body, where there's a heartbeat beating in your chest, there'll be a time when you need to call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. The word says, while I am near, call upon me when I'm near, when I'm close. Revival is when God is close. His presence is here. God's presence is here. His presence is here. To revive is to restore to life or consciousness, to renew, to take up, to regain life or consciousness, to regain strength again, to gain strength again. And I'm going to tell you real briefly, and we're tying the boat right here. Hang with me just a minute. I know exactly what time it is. And looking at watches is just going to make me nervous. And that just makes me even longer, okay? You were supposed to say, "Bless him, Lord. Bless Pastor R this morning. Bless Pastor R this morning. Anoint him. Use him this morning. Give him the words of life to speak." Jesus said, "My words are life that I speak unto you." It's the same thing that paddle gives you when your heart is not beating. It gives you that current, that jolt, that resuscitates, revives your beat again. God wants to revive your beat again. Your beat again. There was a young king. Not many kings in the Bible, in the Word of God, are maybe worthy of mentioning in Scripture, except their failures, their sinfulness. And Judah in Israel had many kings who fit that category. But there were kings that God used for His glory. There were great kings in the Word. And we read of them throughout the scripture. In fact, the book of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, would be stories of those kings in authority and leadership over their nation. And the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles also records the terms of those kings as they were in power. But there was one king, and he wasn't the youngest king, because the youngest king to ever take the throne in Israel was 7 years old. So this king was close to him, and his name was Josiah. Everybody say Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. How old are you, Hannah? You're 11, okay. You'd be his senior, okay? He was 8 years old when he began to reign as a king. Oh, the Word of God says, okay, can I tell you what the Word of God said on his behalf? Okay. Oh, wow. Okay, this is one of those moments, okay? So this is found in 1 Kings, and it's also found in 1 Chronicles. Okay? Hallelujah. And Josiah in 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And Josiah was 8 years old when he became a king. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Now listen to this. This is powerful. Hang with me, okay? You're going to miss something here because we're getting ready to tie the boat quickly. The Bible says, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He was noted as a great king because he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did the right things. True revival incites change and a restirring of holiness and righteousness in our life. We don't get that through our own deeds or through our own works, because that's given to us through Christ as righteousness. But we have his righteousness. But he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. And now listen to this. He turned not to the right hand, nor did he turn to the left hand. But he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now let me tell you something interesting about this king. At the age of 16, everybody say 16. At the age of 16, and this is a word that needs to be spoken to all of our kids today, to a generation of revival seekers, to a generation of God seekers, because God is raising up a generation that will not compromise, that will see the coming of the Lord. Amen. That will see the coming of the Lord. At the age of 16, he began to seek the Lord with all of his heart. He began to develop a hunger for God. In 1 Kings chapter 34 and verse 3, he began to seek after the Lord with all of his heart. He began to seek after God with all of his heart. Revival recurs in a generation when people begin to seek after the Lord with all their heart. They begin to go after God with all their heart. Because let me tell you something in this room. We're all seeking after something. Hello, is anybody with me today? I think I'm going to come back and preach to some people. Is everybody here today with me? Because you're seeking something. You're seeking something. I promise you, you're seeking something. Let me tell you what people seek. Let me tell you what people seek. Let me tell you what people seek. If you're not seeking God, you'll seek something else. You'll substitute something else for God. If you're not going after God, you'll seek after something else. So what are we seeking in our life? Some people are seeking success. They're seeking success. A better job. pay, more money, a bigger title. We're all seeking something. But those things don't bring peace. Those things don't truly bring spiritual prosperity in our life. Those things truly don't give us hope. They're empty things. They're bags with holes in them. And at the end of this life, you may be like Solomon. You may have gained all of those things and been one of the most powerful men in the history of humanity. The scripture says what a powerful man Solomon was. But at the end of his day, the scripture said he looked at all the kingdoms, all the power, all the wealth, all the things that he had accumulated. And he says they're all empty. They don't give you true fulfillment. Only Jesus can give you true fulfillment. Only Jesus can give you full fulfillment. And all the other is seeking something in dry places. You're looking in dry places for something to satisfy your life and your heart. Some people are looking, they're seeking for money or wealth, or seeking for security, seeking for happiness. And let me say, there's nothing wrong with having those things. I'm not preaching against those things. They can be tools in God's people's hands, amen? Wealth can be a powerful tool in somebody's hand if they use it for the purpose and the kingdom of God. Some people are looking for happiness and peace. Some people are seeking a good family. Some people just want to be loved and fit in, and they're seeking a place to be. They're just seeking to be a part. So the first thing, and stay with me right here because I'm getting ready to close right here. Josiah began to seek the Lord himself with all of his heart. It incited a revival. It incited such a powerful move of God in the land. Of such in the history of Israel, the rest of them were pale in comparison. It's because what God changed in the heart of a young king who sought after God with all of his heart. Hunger creates hunger. When you're hungry, when you take something out of here, you go into the Walmart this afternoon looking for trunk or treat supplies. You walk in the aisles of that trunk or treat. Somebody will look at your countenance and see your walk and see your smile. And by the way, let me tell you something. Store clerks will say they hate Sundays. They hate to wait on people on Sundays. You know why? Because they say the church folk are the most difficult folk to wait on in the whole community. Imagine that. We just come out of church. We just come out of church. We just come out of church. And we're blessing the clerk out. We're giving a hateful look to the clerk. It's not the clerk's fault. Oh, I can tell I lost some of you. I knew it was going to get quieter before the day, for the moment would end. I knew it was going to get quieter because God's speaking to some of your hearts. Your attitude affects your altitude. Some of you wonder why you're not flying high. It's because you don't have the Christ-like attitude. Paul says, let the mind that be in Christ be in me. Give me that same mindset, Lord, that same attitude. I want it, Lord. I need it. And by the way, this morning, I have a confession to make. So I'm going to hang myself out. This morning, I was frantic. I was just like running like a chicken with his head cut off. I was trying to get everything together. And everybody's telling me, I can't make it, I can't make it, I can't make it, I can't make it. Well, Jesus, who's going to be here? So y'all don't worry about things like that. But I'm a shepherd. And I'm concerned because I want people at the table to eat. Amen. When the Lord prepares something, he wants people here to eat, right? So I was frantic and I was running around and I asked Mrs. R. She'd help me make up some posters. By the way, we didn't even use. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But she said, okay. And you know, she was in a hurry too. And I read her body language a little bit wrong. And I thought, well, she didn't want it to. And I said, well, don't worry about it. I don't need that anyway. And she thought I just had a little bit of an attitude. How many knows that you can get a little bit of an attitude? You see, I've been real this morning to you. I said, I've been real to you this morning. How many knows you can have an attitude when you come to church? Oh, Jesus, help everybody repent this morning. How many knows you can have an attitude? You're right. So, Jesus, I confessed it. Repentance started with the King. Repentance starts with me. Listen, I fail, God. You're not looking at a perfect man. I mess up. But guess what? So do you. So let's acknowledge we mess up. Quit judging your brother and sister because they mess up. Just take care of your own business and repent when you mess up. And some of you have messed up this week. Some of you messed up this morning, like Pastor R did. He began to seek God. And one of the first things he did is he repented. He just simply said, God, I'm sorry, I messed up. Churches need to repent. We need to repent as a body, and we need to repent as people. Individually, that's what makes up the church. The church is not the building. The building can't repent. The chairs can't repent. The wall covering can't repent. The concrete can't repent. But the life that's sitting here that needs a restored heartbeat can repent. And can get your heart beating again in the right rhythm so you can walk in the powerful purpose and plan of God. Amen. God, restore my heart. Give me a heart that beats for you. Give me a heart that beats for you, Jesus. And he repented. He repented. And the first thing that God told him to do was to go throughout the land. We're not going to have time to go in the scriptures. The first thing God told him to do was go out through the land and destroy all the idols. Whoa. So, Lord, you know, right now, I'm going to need your help because right now there are going to be some sacred cows. Idols, anything you put between you and God. You can put your wife before God. Who gave you that wife? Hello? Anybody with me? You still with me today? You can worship your children. Did you not preach a message one time, Jason, on what doesn't make a good idol? Isn't that right? Or am I thinking wrong or something? That was you that preached that, right? People don't make good idols. Your children don't make good idols, but we can worship our children. You love your children with everything in you. You love them. You love them. You love them. You care for them. You take care of them. You pour into them. But you cannot worship your children. Whatever stands between you and God, your relationship. And that just simply means what interrupts the rhythm of your heart toward God. You know what? I don't think she's here today. But Heath, tell a real quick personal story. Heath was real troubled by that because he coached Demi throughout her softball and did the Thunder group and all that stuff. And he was, when he come to the Lord, he got so much in the power and the fire and started the ministry. And he was busy with that stuff too, as well as trying to take care of his kids. But then Demi went to Jawan to play college ball. And he couldn't be there. In high school, he was there every game. And then Thunder, he coached every game. He formed the league. But he couldn't be there. And he was torn because his work and different things. He couldn't go back and forth. Jawan is on the east coast of North Carolina. That's like 9-10 hours away. He couldn't just hop over to the game like he did at Powell Valley. Or wherever, Gate City, wherever. And he was so torn, and he talked to Demi about it. And he came to one of her games, and he left. Isn't that right? Am I telling this right? You're looking at me like I'm wrong. Is that pretty much right? I'm close to it? Is that pretty much close to it? I guess. Okay. All right. It'll do. And see, he was worried about that. You know what Demi told her dad? Dad, you've been the best dad. You've always been a great dad. But I've never known the dad that I have now. Is this right, Hannah? You're sitting back there. Am I close to it, or I'm in the ballpark? Okay, you're a great dad. You've always been a good dad, but since you've come to know the Lord, you've been the greatest dad you could ever be. Don't you worry about coming here to every game. I know you got my back. I know you're there. The best version your children need from you is God's version. Amen. So they began to tear idols down. They went throughout the whole countryside tearing idols down. And destroyed idols, destroyed things that got in their way between them and God. They began to worship idols. They set up images and idols. There was perversion tied with their idols and their idolatry. There was all kinds of things that went on, and they went, and such change happening that people tore down the idols and began to worship God again. Wow, what a powerful thing. Revival really happens, change happens, when people begin to put God first in their life. They don't worry about other stuff. God will take care of that stuff. They have such a hunger for God that they can't wait for the next encounter. They can't wait to be in the presence of God again. They can't wait. It don't always have to happen here. In fact, if this is the only place you encounter God, then your valley is going to be plenty, plenty dry, okay? But it's about encountering a God every day. And they tore down the idols. And they repaired the abandoned temple. Because they have abandoned the temple. Have we abandoned God in our life? Have we put other things before Him and we've abandoned Him? Our life and our fruit will prove that. No one's judging. By your fruits we shall know them, the Word says. So have we abandoned God? And they begin to repair the abandoned temple and put things back where they needed to be. They begin to put things back. And in that temple, they restored worship. Powerful revival bursts powerful worship. There's a worship because you know you've encountered God. It's not coming to church because, oh, do I have to come to church? If I don't come to church, Pastor Art's going to call me. And I don't want him to call me. But I'm not going to answer his text today, or I'm not going to, but, you know, if you're only coming to church because of me, your valley's pretty dry. you should be here because you know, even though this is not the only place that God's presence is, it's a powerful place for the presence of God, because when we come together, it incites a corporate anointing to fall, and powerful things happen as a result of that. Number one, people get saved. Amen. Revival really happens. Signs and wonders and miracles happen. You don't have to make them happen. They just happen. Amen. Do you actually, let me tell you this. Think of this. I've been in services where people didn't have to lay hands on somebody. People were healed in the congregation just sitting back there because the presence of God was so powerful that it released an atmosphere of miracles, and people just received their miracles. They reached out and grabbed their miracle this morning. That's how tangible, that's how exciting and electrifying the presence of God. And that's incited by worship, because he inhabits the praises of his people. I shouldn't have to cheerlead you to praise God. I shouldn't have to cheerlead you to raise your hands. You ought to know that's what you get to do. I shouldn't have to cheerlead you to dance. That's your privilege. Yeah, we need encouragement sometimes, but don't rely upon that. Somebody with me still? Okay. Powerful worship was restored. And the Bible says in the temple, closing on this part, in the temple, when they were restoring the temple, going through and putting things, opening things up, you know what they found that was lost? The Word of God. They found the scrolls of God's Word. You know, revival happens when people, when people's heart begin to beat again for the Word of God. It's a part of their life. I can't imagine any day in my life being out without God's Word. I can't imagine any day being out without God's Word. Juwan, his Word awakened me this morning. His Word, Reggie, keeps me going through the week. His Word picks me up when I'm down. His Word encourages me and fills me in dry places. His Word changes me. His Word, His Word. And if you'll be honest to me this morning, there's some of you have never even read the Word this week. You're wondering, why are you so... Oh, why are you so dry? Why you can barely make it? Oh, how can you make it without eating? Try it. Try go all week without eating something. By the end of the week, you're going to be, Lord, I don't understand why I'm like this. Have you eaten this week? No, I don't believe I have. Well, hello? How many knows you need the Word of God? Anybody help me? I know you loved me a while ago. Do you still love me now? Okay. Lord, I thank you for your Word. Oh, in many people's lives today, the Word of God has been lost. So we need a recommitment to follow what the Lord, not just to have the Word, begin to do what the Word says again. Because the Word is about our map of our direction for our purpose. We're supposed to be doing things today in the kingdom of God. Like laying hands on the sick. Healing the sick. Raising the dead. Cleansing the leper. The devil's supposed to be under your feet, not riding your back all week long. I promise you, I hear this. Jason, I hear this. Well, the devil's been on my back all week long. Don't give him a saddle. Tell him to get off. Get off. You know what? Some of you right now, you need to look the devil right in the face. You need to look him right in the face and say, get off my back in Jesus' name. Right now, you need to do that. Helen, you need to do that. Just look at the devil and say, get off my back, Jack. God just told you what to do. He incited you with the word. Right now, you need to tell the devil to get behind you. That's what the Lord told me to tell you. Tell the devil to get behind you right now. Did you do it? I didn't even see some of you do it, unless you did it secretly. If there's somebody here today and say, Pastor R, you know, I'm like that person in that valley of dry bones. You know, I've lost my hope and I've been discouraged and I've been down. I've let things rob me and I've let things step into my life and take priority. And I've put things before God. I've not been a student of your word and I've lost contact. And I'm here today and I'm thankful for that, but my heart needs to beat for him. If you're here today, you maybe have never known Jesus before. Maybe you have known him, but maybe you just need that holy nudge this morning and that reminder in your heart that there's a God in heaven that loves you today and he's calling out to you. If you're here today and the Holy Spirit has called out to you, be real, be honest with me today, okay? If that's you, I want you to slip your hand up with mine and say, Pastor R, the Holy Spirit has called out my name today. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed to raise your hand. And I'm not going to come back to you. My heart needs to beat stronger for the one who beats for me. Is there anybody here that needs that fits your status this morning? That, Lord, my heart needs to beat stronger for you. Revive me, Lord. Revive and stir my heart to seek after you with all of my heart. Lord, I truly repent of things in my life. I truly acknowledge that I failed you in many ways, in many areas. And I ask you, just forgive me. There's people already come to this altar. Already come to this altar. People who say, God, I failed you. I messed up. And if we'll all be honest and be real, which we are real people here, we say we've all messed up. We've all come short. We've all messed up. We've all, you know, we've messed up. We've messed up in many levels. There's no use of talking about all the levels you've messed up in. But you've messed up. You've missed God in some areas of your life. God wants to restore. He wants you to restore your path this morning. Restore your heartbeat. He wants to get that heart beating strong again in you. Get that bolt, that pulse beating strong again in you. Let the word of God become strong in your life. Let worship become strong in your life again. If that's you, I'm going to ask one more time. Is there any other hands this morning? Be real honest, be real. Thank you for being honest and real this morning. Thank you for being honest and real. I know the word of the Lord didn't go out and return void. I know that God's word fit many this morning. The Holy Spirit told me that fit many this morning. What is sad is when the word of God comes and people don't know it's for them. That's sad. That's a sad place to be. So this morning, if the word of God this morning is speaking to your heart, you're saying, God, I need to get closer to you. Is there anybody in here that needs to get closer to God? You're as close as you need to get? Wow, man. You talk to me at the end of the service and tell me. Does anybody in here need your anything revived? Your heart, your spirit, your worship, the word, anything. You just need a touch from God. You need to be strengthened this morning. Come on, right now, before we leave, come right now, right now. We're ready. If there's anybody in here right now, just come. Just come and just bring to the Lord. Lord, right now, we come to you right now. Let's just worship God in this building. Is there anybody else this morning that will come? I feel the Holy Spirit speaking to somebody.